Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn!
I have been quite excited about this all day because I've always been a bit fascinated by space. We have got Jim Hefke, who is the director of the Auckland Program for Space Systems at the University of Auckland here. Kia ora, how are you, Jim?
Yeah, Moran, Rachel, thanks. I'm really excited to be here. The announcements have just gone out today and it's going to be a really exciting couple of weeks.
So what are we talking about? We are talking about space, but very specifically, we're talking about satellites and a student-built satellite that's being launched. That's so exciting.
Yeah, so we started the program a number of years ago, and this is our firstborn, if you will, ready to go up into space, courtesy of Rocket Lab.
Awesome.
They've been one of the supporters, and yeah, it's just a really exciting time.
You've also brought us a little thing, which, because it's radio, you can't see it at home, but I can describe it for you. It's a cube, and it is quite heavy, actually. It's about the size of your palm of your hand. It's got some very sort of spacey-looking disc on the top. I'm sure it's got a much more scientific reason for existing there. And then you can see inside to all the kind of like electronic bits and pieces. Is this a satellite?
Yeah, it is a satellite. So it's what they call a 1U CubeSat. So a number of years ago, back in the late 90s, they started coming up with standards for to make it easier for small payloads to get launched so that they could do the adapters. And a 1U CubeSat's 100 millimeter cube and weighs just over a kilo.
Yeah, it's it kind of is quite a satisfying thing to hold in your hand. Do you want to hold that, Anika? See what it's like?
Yeah, I really do.
So what is the sort of specific special thing about this satellite launch? Because I don't really know how often do satellites actually get launched and how often does like a student-built one get made and sent into space?
Okay, so satellites get launched fairly regularly now, and especially now that we've got companies like Rocket Lab and SpaceX privatizing space.
Mm-hmm.
So it's become much more reachable for student projects. What's unique about this? A couple of things unique about it. Firstly, it's our first New Zealand student satellite.
Very cool.
And it's also an undergraduate satellite. It's not serious research. So what we do with the APSS program and the way I set it up when I started it, was the students have to identify a need for society and then solve that need for society using a 1U CubeSat. And there's a competition. We ask them to mix their teams up. It's not just engineers. It's engineering. It's science. It's the arts. Mm-hmm. It's business. It's law. All of the students are eligible to join in this program.
So what is the one that is being launched? What's their sort of mandate, I guess, as a satellite team?
Okay, so as a satellite team, they went out and found a paper that talked about electron activity in the upper atmosphere. So what they've built is a detector called a Langmuir probe system that's going to detect electron activity in the upper atmosphere. And 400 kilometers, there's still a bit of atmosphere, so we mm-hmm. call that the upper atmosphere. And the paper that they actually found talked about trying to correlate electron activity with movement of the Earth tectonic plates. Earthquakes, if you will.
Okay.
So I very much hesitate to call it an earthquake detector because it isn't. Mm-hmm. The science isn't proven.
Yep.
But for this program, it doesn't necessarily have to be really solid science.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the student experience for me. It's about the journey and to actually get the opportunity to go ahead and build a satellite. You know, come up with your own idea and build a satellite. And, you know, you're not doing a PhD. You're not doing funded research for millions of dollars and all the rest of it. Mm. You know, you can just go out and do this.
Yeah.
I think that's really exciting.
I think that is really exciting. Theoretically, though, what could the uses of this kind of data that they might be collecting be?
Okay, so what they're really trying to do is it's proof of concept as much as anything. So
It's
a fairly small satellite, so we're not going to get a huge data set out mm-hmm. of it. But what it comes down to is, so this electron activity, it's generated by solar activity. It may be generated by Earth tectonic plate movement and the rest of it. So what we're just trying to do is get some data down and see if we can correlate it mm-hmm. to other activity to see if some of this research can be validated. So for example, I mean, if it happens to be over top of an earthquake just before it happens, you know, is there any data that we've picked up with the satellite that can correlate that sort of thing? You know, same with solar activity. You know, when we see solar flares, can we correlate activity that we pick up with the satellite? So
it's pretty exciting when you start to think about the potential that you can have with such an accessible project and all the different things you could be doing basically with a team and sending it into space and being able to get all that sort of feedback, not just from the actual device itself, but from your academic professors and your people around you, and kind of get a little taste into that world. Are any students able to kind of be part of this, or is it, do you have to be, as you're saying, an engineer, or, you know, can you be a bit of a mix? What's the deal with getting involved with these projects?
I hate teams that are all engineers or all scientists. I mean, the real world doesn't work that way. Can you imagine how boring the place would be if the world was put together by engineers or scientists without any of the humanities or the arts in it, right? You wouldn't want to live here. The reality is our engineers and our scientists have to, their future is going to be uncertain. So I use this little unit as an analogy that they're going to have to be solving complex problems in an unfamiliar environment with people that don't think the same way that they do.
Yep.
And this is what the future is for our graduates. And that goes for all the faculties, you know, all the faculties. Because as problems become more and more complex, you can't actually solve them with one discipline.
No.
So this is an opportunity for our students in a fairly safe, benign environment. You know, they're not putting a business at risk. They're not risking millions of dollars. You know, this is an opportunity for them to experience that.
Yeah.
And that's what really excites me. I'm all about playing with the children.
So when is this going to be launched, this satellite project?
So this satellite is now, the actual satellite is ensconced in the nose cone of the next Rocket Lab rocket.
Very cool.
And that launch window opens on the 15th of November and lasts for about a week. So we should be in the next couple of weeks sometime.
Wow.
We'll be up there.
That is so exciting. And how did you kind of get interested in this whole area of research? Because you're saying you don't have an academic, you know, background as a teacher.
No, I don't have an academic background. I'm not a researcher. I teach engineering management on a part-time basis, have done for a number of years, and I run my own engineering consulting business. So I come from industry. I have a lifelong interest in space. When I was 8 years old, I wrote a letter to John Glenn when he orbited the Earth. I'm Canadian, not American, if you're wondering about my accent. So it was a big deal. I'm from a town of 500 people, and to get a letter from John Glenn, you know, back in the early 60s, it was really cool. So I had an old washing machine that became my space rocket, and I used to go out there and play in that.
That's awesome.
A few years ago, I was trying to get programs going in the schools without much luck in New Zealand. And I paid my own way to go to Japan to get a little bit of training, made some contacts there, kept pushing the barrel when I came back to New Zealand. Auckland City at that time helped me. The contacts I made in Japan sent a couple of people down. We put a little conference on, and about a year later, I got a call from the Dean of Engineering saying, hey, we want to set up a satellite. Would you like
That's
to come
awesome.
Start the program?
That is so cool. That is so cool. And awesome that it is so accessible as well. And for undergrad students, I think you don't often get opportunities like that to be part of something that literally is going to go into space. I think that's just the coolest thing ever. Being able to tell your mates that you're sending a satellite up into space is, I think, the ultimate trump card at, you know, the pub or something like that. I think that's a very cool one. Jim, thank you so much for coming and chatting to us about this. It's such an exciting project. We will keep our eyes to the sky, I guess, for the next couple of weeks to see that little thing launch, theoretically, so to speak. But it is such a pleasure to have you in the studio today. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn! Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.
And we're gonna